Glad you're here. This is the last of our series on transformed, being transformed by renewing your mind, by changing the way you think. And we've looked at seven different areas of transformation in your life. We've gone through your physical health, spiritual health. We've talked about your emotional health and your financial health, et cetera, and your relational health, I believe. And today we are going to be talking about being transformed in my vocational health. The key verse for this is from Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. There are seven biblical attitudes for a healthy work life. You may think that your work life is separate from your church life or separate from your vocational life. We have a tendency to think of our life as being like divided into a piece of a pie. So we have our spiritual life here, our church life, and then we have our recreational life, and then we have our work life, and they're all separate pieces of the pie. That is the wrong way to think. You see, our spiritual life isn't just a piece of the pie. Our spiritual life should be the filling in the whole pie. It should encompass every aspect of our life. We don't just have spiritual life and then we have our work life. We don't have our spiritual friends and the people that we hang out with and then our work friends who may or may not know that we're a Christian. They ought to know you're a Christian. They ought to know you're a follower of Christ. If you're actually following the Bible and doing what it says, the people at work ought to know where you stand with your faith. You see, we are called into the service of the King. But it's not the secret service, okay? We're not doing it without anybody's knowledge. We are to do it boldly and proclaim the name of Jesus boldly in every aspect of our life. And so the first thing that we must do is we must work enthusiastically. I must start working enthusiastically wherever I am. Wherever I am. That word enthusiastic, when you look at it in the Greek, it means in theos, which means in God. So you do your work in God, enthusiastically, wherever you are. Are you in a job that you don't like? We are still to do it enthusiastically, and we'll look at why. I'll give you three reasons why. But whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. The first reason to do that is this job is a test from God. This job is a test from God. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? It's a test from God. He wants to know how you handle the small things in life. The things that perhaps are seemingly insignificant. Do you take things that don't belong to you? Do you take longer breaks than you're allowed? Do you misuse the trust that your boss has placed in you or whoever you work for? You see, if you can't be trusted with little things, who's going to trust you with bigger things? I remember a story that Pastor Tony Evans shared, that he was working the night shift while he was putting himself through school. And some of the people that he was working with, they had this system worked out where they would take naps while they were working. And so they worked it out that each of them would go take a nap and at different times, and the other people would cover for them. so that they could get a couple of hours sleep. And they came to Tony and they shared this plan with them and they said, do you want to participate? And he said, no, because I'm being paid to work. I'm not being paid to take a nap. And so the guys were kind of rough on him and maybe, you know, abused him a little bit because of the stand that he took. But he told them that I'm also working for my Heavenly Father, and so I can't cheat my boss. Unbeknownst to all of those guys that were taking a nap, the management was watching them. And they knew that this was happening. And so one day they called Tony in the office and they asked him, they said, we know what's going on during the night shift, that some of the men are taking off and taking turns taking a nap, but you aren't. Why aren't you? And he said, because I serve my Heavenly Father and I won't cheat him or my employer. And the interesting thing is that those guys who were a little rough on Tony for not participating, they became his subordinates. They promoted him to their supervisor, to be their supervisor. It was a test. God was watching, and the supervisors were watching. Which brings me to letter B. God is watching. God is watching. Work hard so God can say to you, well done. Be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. We find that in 2 Timothy 2:15, the Living Bible. Most often people will read that translation as though because it is written to Timothy, and Timothy was a pastor. And so we say, well, that applies to the pastor. No, it applies to everyone. It applies to everyone. Be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. So, three reasons that we must work enthusiastically. The first one is this job is a test from God. Secondly, God is watching. And third, my attitude determines my joy. My attitude determines my joy. Proverbs 12:24 in the Message says, the diligent find freedom in their work. The lazy are oppressed by work. So my attitude determines my joy. Let me break that down for you. How many of you have ever been in a job you didn't like? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure that many of you did. How many of you complained about that job that you didn't like? How many of you complained about that job that you didn't like while you were doing that job? Did complaining about the job make it better? No. What did it do? It made it worse. It made the job worse. And if you're working with other people and you're complaining to other people about the job, and they begin to complain, what begins to happen? You begin to feed off each other and you really drive each other down. And so you find no joy. Your attitude determines your joy. So you may not like the job, but that doesn't mean you should complain about it. The scripture actually tells us to do things without grumbling and complaining. And so three reasons why we must be enthusiastic in our work is it is a test of God, from God. God is watching, and your attitude will determine your joy. Romans 12:11 in the Living Bible says, never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Again, enthusiastically, serve the Lord in God. It's interesting that when we work in God, and when we work for God. And so regardless of what we're asked to do, when we work in God and we work for God, we are able to work through it and get through it. The second biblical attitude is this: I must understand who I'm really working for. I must understand who I'm really working for. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 in the New Living Translation. We're really working for God. And we need to have that understanding that even though we might have a human boss or a human supervisor or whatever, and even though they might be a tool, we're not really working for them. We're working for God. As believers in Christ, as believers in God, we are working for God. Now, I want to make a disclaimer here. I don't want you to think that because you're in a job that you don't like, that you shouldn't look for something else that's better. We should do that. We should want to advance. We should want to better ourselves. But if God doesn't call us from that particular job, then we work at it as though we are working for God, because ultimately we are working for God. Last week when we talked about financial health, we talked about the fact that God is the one who provides, that God is the source and He is the supplier. Just like, remember we said that when you go to the faucet and you turn on the water doesn't come from the faucet. It comes from a different source. The faucet is just the mechanism that brings the water into our house. It is just the conduit. The same thing is true if you're a believer in God. The same thing is true about your work. Your work isn't your supplier. It isn't your source of income. God is your supplier, and He is your source. Now, He might use that job as the conduit through which He supplies your needs. And I believe that everyone who is able should have a job, should find work that is meaningful. But we must understand that we are working for God, that He is the one who supplies and He is the one who provides for us. And so we are ultimately working for God. If we believe that God is watching, if we believe that God is sovereign, if we believe that God is in control, then we can also believe that God can change our circumstances. And because we are faithful to Him, He can bring opportunities into our life that maybe otherwise we wouldn't have. But He wants to be faithful in the little things so that He can bring us better things. I must understand who I'm working for. Number three, I must concentrate on building my character. I must concentrate on building my character. As Jesus followers, we are to be more concerned about our character than we are about our career. And I can promise you that there will be opportunities that come your way where you can cut corners to get advancement. You can do things that might cause you to lack some integrity to advance yourself. But we need to be more concerned about our character than our career. Just like that story that I shared with you with Tony Evans, Dr. Tony Evans, working the night shift. It was because of his character that God blessed him with a promotion, and his employers blessed him with a promotion. Now, I'm sure he was just as tired as everybody else working the night shift, and he could maybe have justified taking a nap, but God was watching, and he maintained his character, and he was rewarded for it. So I must concentrate on building my character over building my career. Number four, I must care about the people I work for. I must care about the people I work for. Whatever you do, do it with kindness and love. Whatever you do, do it with kindness and love. Philippians 2:4 in God's Word Bible says, don't be concerned about your own interests, but also be concerned about the interests of others. And so if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, we can look at the life of Christ and see how he was willing to submit himself, to humble himself, to become a man, and to pay the penalty for our sin. Why? Because he had concern for us above that of himself. He was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. He had all of the glory and richness of being part of the Godhead, and yet he surrendered all that so that he could come and be a servant and he could die for us. And so if we're followers of Christ, that means that we are to be as much as we are able Christ-like. And so therefore, we must consider everyone above ourselves. Consider the needs of others above ourselves. But that's not the way it is in society. It's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Everybody's trying to cut somebody's throat, get ahead, do whatever they need to do to advance themselves. But that's not what we're called to do as believers of Christ. Ephesians 4:2 in the New Living Translation says this, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. What do you do at work when somebody else makes a mistake? This will tell you a lot about your attitude. What do you do when somebody else makes a mistake? Are you the one that wants to tell all the other employees that so-and-so did this, that they goofed up? Are you the one that runs to the supervisor and tattles because you think that tattling on them makes you a better person? Do you stand on other people so that you can look better, that you can stand taller? I remember one time as I left a church, they hired another person to take that position. And he was pretty critical of my ministry, and I heard that. But I didn't say anything. I didn't retaliate. And then 2 years while he was in the same church that I had just left, 2 years later, he came to me. He asked if he could have lunch. And I said, sure. And so as we had lunch, he began to share with me his struggles and his problems. And he found out that they didn't like him as much as they didn't like me. And so what do you do about it? And I just said to him, I said, let this be a lesson to you. I said, your popularity when you first came was honestly derived from standing on my corpse. You stood and said, I'm not him. I'm not like him. I am different. And you did a comparison of yourself with Mike Houck. But 2 years into it, that doesn't work because I've been gone for 2 years. And I said, and now my corpse, so to speak, has decayed and you are standing on your own 2 feet. What do you have to offer? And I said, you haven't done any better than I have. So I said, don't ever try to make yourself taller by standing on another man's corpse. Don't make yourself taller by standing on another man's mistakes. Don't make yourself taller by standing on another person's shortcomings. You don't have to tattle. You don't have to spread the gossip. The Bible says that we are to be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. Why? Because of our love. Jesus Christ tells us that we are to love one another. So we must care about the people we work for. Let's review. Number one, I must start working enthusiastically wherever I am. I must understand who I'm really working for. I must concentrate on building my character. And I must care about the people I work for. Number five, I must exceed what is expected of me. I must exceed what is expected of me. Servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters and don't do just the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Colossians 3:22 in the Message. In Matthew 5:41, in the Christian English Bible, it says, when they require you to go 1 mile, go with them too. You've heard the phrase, go the extra mile? That's where it comes from. That is where it comes from. Go the extra mile. If they ask you to go one, go two. In other words, do more than is expected of you. I know a man who became very successful in business. When he started the job, he was dirt poor. But he decided that he was going to better himself. And so he would go to work and he would show up 15 minutes early. He wouldn't punch in. He would show up 15 minutes early. And he would tidy up the shop where he worked. And then he would sweep the floor and do things that weren't in his job description, but nobody else was doing it. And eventually, they took notice of him. And they advanced him. Even though he hadn't been there as long as other people, they promoted him. And pretty soon, an opportunity came for him to move up through the ranks and eventually own the company. And when I asked him what was it that made him so successful, he said, it was doing the extra. It was doing the extra that got him noticed. Here's the thing. We live in a society where customer service, work ethic, it has really gone down the tubes. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's hard to get in good employees. It's hard to keep employees. It has gone down the drain. So for us as believers, that ought to be good news. Why? Because it won't take a lot of effort to stand out. It won't take a lot of effort to stand above everyone else. So you don't have to point out everybody else's faults. Just be different. Just be different. And stand above. Do more than is expected of you. Number six. I must expand my skills with continual learning. I must expand my skills with continual learning. Ecclesiastes 10:10 in the NIV says, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. So what does that mean? What that means is that you need to sharpen the axe. You need to work smarter rather than harder. You know, it's interesting. There was a study. One guy did this study, and he paid people exceptionally well, and he asked them to go out and beat on a log with the hammer side of the axe. When they ask what, you know, what's my job? He said, I just want you to go take this head axe. So a head axe has a hammer on one side and a blade on the other. And he says, I just want you to beat on this log and I'll pay you whatever it was, $20 an hour to just beat on this log all day. And it was a great wage for at that time, but nobody stuck to it. They beat on it and they all eventually quit. And he would hire more and say, I just want you to beat on that. Beat on that log with that hammer. And they all quit. Why did they quit? Because they weren't really seeing any fruit for their labor. Their work was meaningless. There was no path for advancement. I mean, the wage was good, but it was useless. It was meaningless. It was futile. God designed us to want to advance. God designed us to desire to grow. And so we need to expand our skills with continual learning. You say, well, I can't go back to school. Well, I'm not asking you to. Do you know that you're expanding your learning by being in church this morning? Have you learned something this morning? I hope so. You expand your learning when you read a book. You expand your learning, your knowledge when you do a course, you take a course. You expand your knowledge by participating in educational resources. And we live in a society where there are just tons of opportunities to advance yourself intellectually. So sharpen the axe and work smarter, not harder. And number 7, I must dedicate my work to be used for God's glory or God's purpose. I must dedicate my work to be used for God's purpose. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Proverbs 16:3. Why? 2 Corinthians 5:20. For we are Christ's ambassadors. We represent the King. If we are believers in Christ, if we are followers of Christ, we represent the King. So in other words, when they see us, they should see Him. They should see His character. They should see His love. They should see His joy in us. Let me ask you this. We in Christian circles, we do this thing called dedication. And so we dedicate our lives to Christ. We dedicate our children to Christ. We dedicate our home to Christ. Have you ever dedicated your job to Christ? Have you ever said, God, thank you for blessing me with this opportunity? And I dedicate it to you. I dedicate myself to you in this opportunity that I might be a worthy ambassador for you, that I might represent you well. And that I might do my best to bring glory to you. We typically don't think of that as people. Our job is, you know, something that we have to do to provide for those things that we think we need. But remember, being a follower of Christ is not just a slice of the pie. It is the entire filling. And it needs to encompass every aspect of our life. We've spent the last 7 weeks looking at seven different areas of our life where we need to be transformed. We need to change the way we think. If you missed any of those, you can go and find them. They've all been recorded except for, I think, one, right? Or did you remove that one? Oh, it's still there. We had one where I forgot to turn on my microphone and the sound quality is pretty poor, which is why you'll notice that my son at the end of worship gets up and walks to the back, because he walks to the back to say, "Dad, did you turn on your mic?" Because if he didn't do that, I wouldn't turn on my mic. So you can go back and you can watch those if you missed any part of those. We are Christ ambassadors. We are his representative in every area of our life. We need to be transformed. We need to change the way we think. We need to have the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen. Father, we pray that we might continue to pursue you, that we might take our thoughts captive, that we might run them through the filter of your word. May we be transformed. May we continually grow to become more like you. Because as your ambassadors, what people see in us is what they think of you. We pray that we might be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.